Yes, it's Wednesday. It's April 17. This is the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you if you are just tuning in. The Champions League quarterfinals concluding this morning have seen PSG grab a famous win at Barcelona, 4-1 on the day. So they're through 6-4 on aggregate through to the semi-finals. And Borussia Dortmund have beaten Atletico Madrid 4-2 on the day and 5-4 on aggregate. Two classic ties there and probably two another classics tomorrow with Arsenal and Bayern Munich and Manchester City and Real Madrid as well. Great to have Mossy in this morning with Loz, of course, over there advancing the game in the International Rugby League, what, the board meeting in Singapore or whatever they've got.
He's just a man of the people, isn't he?
Has he started looking for his real estate in Kenya yet, Mido, in Nairobi?
Yeah, can't confirm that. You'll have to ask him yourself. And Pup over there at the IPL, of course, as well. Still, I see that Glenn Maxwell's actually asked for a mental and physical break, hence he wasn't picked by his IPL side, Royal Challengers Bangalore, in the loss to Sunrisers Hyderabad yesterday. He's got 32 runs in six innings as Maxi, three ducks. I'd love to have him fresh for Australia in the 2020 World Cup anyway, but yeah, he's been out of form.
You can't imagine, like, we talk about playing for your country, Mido, and playing for Australia and the pressure of a World Cup or an Ashes. I can't imagine what pressure those guys are under playing in the IPL on those big, big money contracts, right? Playing in a cricket-mad nation. If you don't perform in two or three games in a row, I can imagine that would just ratchet up big time, right? And fans would be on you. Media would be on you over there. And, like, it's T20. It's a lottery. Like, seriously. You could score runs. You could not score runs. It's luck of the draw, really.
Well, Mitchell Starc overnight, who's the richest IPL player ever, four overs none for 50.
Yeah.
So, he got three the other day to just release some of the pressure, but now he's been tonked again overnight.
Well, to be fair to Starkey, he's probably one of the guys who says, oh, it's T20 cricket. I understand it. I'm going to get smashed from time to time. It's just going to happen. So he puts things in perspective. But when you're earning, how much is he earning? Mido? $4 million Australian or something?
Was it $27,000 a delivery?
Yeah, something like that.
Like, he's a fellow member down at Longreef Golf Club, Starkey, and Alyssa, his wife. And yeah, cops a little bit of stick.
Does he?
Yeah.
Does he hit him all right?
He does.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
I've seen him actually when I've played there before. Yeah, and it is.
And his brother, Brandon. Brandon
can play as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
He can hit it.
Yeah, he's quality.
No shock.
He came
there.
Back from the Commonwealth Games once. He said, oh, I won a silver medal. I said, no, you didn't. You lost gold.
How did he respond to that?
He wiped me off the scorecard. He ended up playing very well that day, so I think I poked the bear.
G'day, Cookie.
Good morning, guys. How are we?
Not too bad, thanks, mate. And so you played New South Wales Cup against Newtown. You won 24-12. You scored a try. What did you take out of it all?
It's a lot different going back to Cup. You know, it's meeting some of the guys who aren't in that top 30 that go back down for the first time as well. But, mate, I had good fun. They were great back there. It's obviously different defending with, you know, certain people that you do week in, week out and train with as well. So, Newtown were good. They were obviously the Sharks feeder club as well. But it was good to get a win. Get across the trial line, just enjoy some footy. So hopefully I've done enough to try and push back into that first grade squad too.
Cookie, how did you prepare yourself mentally? It's always tougher going back, obviously, as an established champion as you are. How did you prepare yourself mentally for that?
Yeah, look, the week was especially the start of the week. Obviously a lot of tension around it. Quite draining by the time I got to game day. Just how the whole week went out. But, you know, I played a lot of New South Wales Cup, a lot of games back there. So I understand what it's about. And I also understand, getting the club off to a good start that day on the field. And also I understand being in that position of New South Wales Cup players, that's what they live for each weekend. And you get these guys that come back from grade. You want to make sure you do them proud as well. So there was a lot of motivation there just to make sure I didn't let those guys down, because that's what they look for week in, week out, their footy. You know, some of them have got to go to work, all day and then go to train. So I've got to make sure I go back and do a good job for them. So that's what was motivating me on the weekend.
Cookie, what did you make of the NRL team's performance against the Sharks last Saturday night? I think everyone agrees a much improved performance, but still some areas to work on.
Yeah, there is, but a much improved performance. Looked like, we're fighting – the whole game there. At the start in the first half, we know a couple of boys dropping down, and then Cam as well. Like, we thought we were on the back foot a lot, and I thought the forwards did a great job to step up and play some massive minutes and play have some great performances too. You know, the likes of Shaq and Tommy, two big fellas there, pushed out big minutes and really set the platform. I think, you know, Tommy could almost be rewarded with two try assists with some of his play the balls that led to those tries, just how powerful they were and how quick the play the ball was. So they did a great job, and it's all about, you know, just harnessing that fight we had. And, you know, if we could be a different story if we didn't have any injuries in that game against the top of the league Sharks at the moment.
What about Jai Gray's debut at fullback? Cookie, what do you make of that?
Yeah, we always knew what we were going to get out of Jai. A little excitement machine, speed, all that sort of stuff we see at training. I think he handled himself really well. He went after it. His first carry, he went straight back at the defensive line. He copped a hit from Mortalo, maybe, I think it was. I said to him after the game, you won't get hit harder than that in a game. So, well, that's, you know, it's good initiation into NRL there. But I thought he handled himself really well. And it was just on the ball, plenty of energy, which is really good and what we needed at the moment.
Cookie, from a player's point of view, like, we know there was so much speculation leading into that Sharks game about Jason Demetriou, your coach, reports that Mal Meninga might have been approached by a third party. But the club's come out, obviously, since the Sharks game saying, no, Jason's our man, we're going to give him some time. As a player, does it sort of bring a little bit of relief to go through that squad when you hear news like that coming from the top of the club?
Yeah, definitely, because I think there was so much noise around last week, or, you know, it's building a lot last week, and the way JD's handled himself has been great too. You wouldn't think anything of it. You wouldn't notice his, you know, all the stuff he was copping. So, you know, that result on the weekend, you know, they'll say it was enough, but, you know, like, it's great to see that, you know, the noise has dropped off and the media has dropped off a bit, and we can just focus on what we need to do because we know we've got the talent here and the team here to get the job done. And obviously the wins aren't on the board at the moment. But, you know, just got to keep working hard like we did on the weekend. So for JD, I'm happy that there's talk obviously of Fernty coming in. I'm not sure if that's even, we've had the bye. So we've got the bye this weekend. So we've had a couple of days off. So I'm not sure what's actually going on today when we get in there. But if he is, it's going to be a great little addition as well to our team and to help us out at the moment. But yeah, definitely happy the noise has dropped off a bit, and we can focus on ourselves still.
Yeah, I was going to ask, Cookie, is the bye come at a good time, and what do you think the coaching staff will use the break to focus on?
We'll probably find out today, but, you know, we've all had a few days, last 3 days off, you know, spend some time with family, get your head away from footy, which is, you could say it's come at a good time, yeah. But also there was probably some good momentum taken out of that Sharks game. So we just sort of find a way to harness that and carry that down. But we've got a massive game coming up after the bye. We get to play on Anzac Day in Melbourne, which is very exciting. So no doubt, you know, the focus will turn to Melbourne very quickly. Maybe not today so much, more of a review, but come Friday, Sunday sessions, we'll definitely ramp it up. And you know, I think there's a lot of motivation to build on that. That momentum, I know it was a loss, but a bit of momentum out of that Sharks game.
So since sort of, you know, before the Sharks game, have you had much communication with Jason Demetriou personally and been given sort of any indication you could return on Anzac Day against the Melbourne Storm?
No, nothing personally. You know, communication between us two. Yeah, I think everyone, I think he was probably just letting all the boys just enjoy their couple of days off to get away from footy. So, yeah, being a longer turnaround before our game, I think, you know, there was no need to talk footy the last couple of days. I think everyone's, you know, definitely felt a little bit and just enjoyed those couple of days off before we ramp it back up again. So, yeah, I'll probably have a chat to him today, you know, get out there and train well and see where we're at.
Cookie, a couple of weeks ago, or a few weeks ago, a reader texted in about my tipping and said I've gone 66 tips for zero wins. We've got a reader, listener.
Yeah, but that's exaggerated. That listener,
I think their maths was way off.
Well, yeah. I mean, he thinks he's a genius.
But Cookie's copying it this morning on the text line. Gary from Wadalba said, you're 0 from 7. What's doing?
It's been a rough start on the track and field this year. But, I'm going international this week, though. I don't know what the race details are, but King of Sparta's racing. So I'm just driving at the moment, so I can't pull up where it is, but that's where I'm going.
I'm assuming you're on hands-free, mate.
I am hands-free, yes.
I reckon, okay, so King of Sparta.
Yeah, over in New Zealand.
Okay. So, race would that be? We'll chase that down, exactly what race that is. I'm sure I've asked you this before, Cookie, but just remind us, what's your take on Golden Point after we had two games going to Golden Point on the weekend and a heap of debate over, you know, the way it's refereed, you know, whether teams should be given a point if they lose in Golden Point? What's your take on it all?
Yeah, I've probably answered this with you a couple of times, but I've probably given different answers as well. So,
well, we can change our minds.
Yeah, we can. I didn't see the games on the weekend. I saw obviously the results, but I wasn't sure. I heard some people talking about the field goals, Don, just going non-stop. So, looking at golden try. Mate, you could go, you know, if it's a field goal, just play on and just run the clock out 10 minutes. So if you're in front by one, you win. I guess still give the other team an opportunity to score. Maybe that's where I'd sit. And if they both kick a field goal and they still draw, and then 1 point each.
But do you feel, Cookie, that the game's officiated just a touch differently in that Golden Point period?
Oh, well, look, as a player, it's such a like intense part of the game. You can only imagine what the refs are going through too. Like they are, whatever decision they make, there's going to be half the crowd hate them and half the crowd love them. So. I can understand the nerves that go into that. A goal kicker trying to kick from the sideline to win the game. So it's, sometimes you're going to get it, sometimes you're not. So the refs are only human. We've just got to back them that they do the best job each week. But, I think if we're going to use the bunker as well, if there is a blatant penalty, I didn't see the one on the weekend, but I heard it, they were offside, then maybe the bunker can step in. But... that's just going to cause carnage if they call it back for a penalty. Yeah, so it's an interesting one, but it could be entertaining as well. So,
and our listeners have pointed out that King of Sparta, of course, is in the Quokka over in the west at Ascot in the big $5 million, the Quokka over there where it's drawn well. Barrier 4, Blake Shin will ride for the Snowdens. And, well, it's been $10 into $7 as well, Cookie. So enjoy your bye weekend, mate.
Will do. Was that Barry having a go at my tips, was it, earlier? Tell him it's a sure thing this weekend. So get on it.
I think you just told him.
Have a good few days. Enjoy the bye weekend, mate, and we'll chat next week.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Great to speak to Cookie then. And your paper, The Herald, reported yesterday, Adam, that David Ferner is in discussions to rejoin the club to assist Jason Demetrio. He was with the West Tigers and Tim Sheens last year was David Ferner. Of course, the club lost all that IP in John Morris and Sam Burgess last year. I think they promoted the New South Wales Cup coach, Joe O'Callaghan.
Yep.
So if he is to return, according to the report, he'd be working with South's forwards on their defence, amongst other areas, David Ferner, but obviously has a very strong resume in the game, to say the least.
It's funny how rugby league works, Middo. He was at South, then went to the Tigers. John Morris was at South, went to the Tigers, and now David Ferner's coming back to replace him at South. But, he's an experienced hand, Middo. He's a guy who's very well respected and liked around the game. Obviously, South officials got a huge opinion of him from his time at the club previously. And probably the most crucial thing is he specialises in defence. Like, South's conceding 30-odd points a game at the moment. They're really struggling to hold teams out. So I think it's probably a pretty smart move from Jason Demetrio. He knows how much the spotlight is burning on him right now. The scrutiny is just so intense. To get an old, experienced hand alongside him for the next few weeks and potentially the rest of the season will definitely help.
I'll tell you what, one of the telling comments from Cookie was about how Demetrio's handling himself around the players, because coaches are human, right? So this white hot heat, and generally it comes from the media. That's not easy to handle and turn up every day in the right frame of mind for your players and make sure that the process remains smooth. So it's a credit to him.
I thought his press conference after the game against the Sharks on Saturday night was really classy. Like, he spoke, I thought, really eloquently. He spoke transparently and honestly, and he acknowledges the pressure is just so intense at the moment. But I thought the way he handled himself was really well. Now, the pre-match press conference that went for 27 seconds, I'm not quite sure about that. I'll say that. But I get that he was being asked questions that were going to be uncomfortable. What he was going to say was not going to go anywhere where he wanted to talk, what he wanted to talk about, basically. So he decided to just walk off. He did it politely, to be fair. It wasn't like he chucked his toys out of the cot and stormed off. But maybe, Middo, Could you handle that a bit better?
Well, was he doing a Desi Hasler in the lead-up to the game?
Well, it only lasted 27 seconds.
No, I know, but what I mean is all the attention went on him storming off from a press conference in the lead-up to the game.
Try and take it off his players?
Maybe.
Did you ever do that, Mossy? Did you ever try and deflect, or is that your style?
Yeah, 100%.
Or?
No, it's not, I wouldn't call it my style, but there's certainly times where you could accuse me of the art of deflection. 100%. You what's in the best interest of your players and the team.
Do you discuss it with someone else beforehand that you're going to do that, or is it just coming to your mind and think, okay, I need to do this, I'm taking control of this situation, and this is where this media press conference or whatever is going to go?
Yeah, more spontaneous in my for me.
Yep.
I know there's coaches, I'm sure, who go in with a preconceived idea of how they're going to handle it, but for me it was more spontaneous. But I always found that the one of the most important roles at a club is the media manager. And the relationship you have with them, because, you know, in the heat of the moment, walking into a presser or at full time as you're about to walk in, if you've got a good media manager, they help you in so many ways handle the situation.
It's funny you say that, because as journalists and as media, sometimes I think we can be too easily led down a different path where we gravitate towards a soundbite or something that a coach wants to bring up instead of looking into the deeper issue about maybe that team's performance or the coach's performance, something like that. I don't know. Do you agree, Mido? Do you think that media sometimes is just too easily led? And
definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in some quarters, and I'm not talking about present company, but too flippant. Because at the end of the day, you're dealing with livelihoods.
Yeah.
You know, and what you write, the power of the pen, or what you say, can have a detrimental impact on livelihoods and family situations and all sorts of things.
Yeah,
I know it's sport, and you're going with your eyes wide open. And if there's a story to be written and you've done your research and it's balanced and you get two sides of the story, play on. But there's a lot of flippant journalism out there that can have a detrimental impact on livelihoods.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. We've got Sophie Dwyer, GWS and Diamonds. GAGS coming up shortly, and the Giants netball side, they were well beaten by the West Coast Fever to start their season on the weekend, so we'll just catch up how they're looking heading into their second week match coming up against the Queensland Firebirds. Just want to ask you about the Oli Roos as well, Mossy, Tony Vidmar's side. They've got a crucial match against Indonesia tomorrow night at the Under-23 Asian Cup. They open the tournament with a scoreless draw against Jordan. Indonesia are coming off a 2-0 loss to Qatar. So this is must-win stuff now, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. You've got to finish top two in your group to go through to the knockout stages. You've got to finish top three in the tournament to go through to the Olympic Games. So a lot on this tournament. Nestori Irinkunda, of course, was a talking point. Not selected in this squad, and he turned it on last night for Adelaide against Western United. So yeah, there was reasons behind the scenes, welfare reasons and things like that, why he wasn't selected. But, how they could have done with him against Jordan.
Unbelievable text here. Hey, Mossy, I'm trying to impress a new sort I'm with. I'm the same age as you. Can you recommend a sexy aftershave? Not just any aftershave, a sexy one.
Well, my goodness. Married for the second time in life. My wife, Penny, buys all my aftershaves. But
does she?
Yeah, she certainly does. She's got a great nose for aftershaves. I couldn't pick one out that's going to work for this listener. There's no name attached to that,
no.
Is there? No. Single.
Aqua de Gio. There you go.
Mido's got one.
Well, I reckon it's close to what you're wearing at the moment, Mossy. But
You know what? If I had to on the spot, I'd probably go Chanel Blue.
Okay, there you go. Chanel Blue from the man himself. A sexy aftershave. referee news. Casey Badger, Adam. After the Ricky and Dez war of words, post the Golden Point game on Sunday evening, she's doing touch judge and bunker duties this weekend, having a rest, according to the NRL.
She dropped or rested?
Well, you know how the NRL will spin,
Same as Todd Smith the previous week, Mido. He obviously refereed that game with the infamous Tolu Kola try, and the knock-on was it Jackson Paolo or Tommy Taliao, one of the wingers for Manly against Penrith. Doesn't matter. Regardless. But to be... Listen, I don't want to defend the NRL here, but they have been sending out one referee each week, basically. So they've been rotating and cycling through those referees. I think it's What do they do that for? Keep them fresh? Do referees need to be kept fresh, Mido? That's a loaded question. I'm sorry.
Well, are you fresh even if you're dealing, if you're in the bunker?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, on the doing touchline duties?
I mean, when you're talking about officials, you're talking mentally fresh.
Yeah, yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying, mentally exactly. fresh.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you're freshening someone up, you don't put them in the bunker.
Yeah. Do you know what I'd like to see in the bunker? I would like to see two people, and two people only, do all eight games every week. Is it to get more consistency in the bunker?
Provided they're in form.
Well, they need to be in form, obviously. Mm-hmm. But we seem to have like four, five, six people in the bunker every single week. And I think sometimes, I don't know. Am I being cruel in saying that?
Well, I don't. You'd have to sponsor them with Panadol or something because that's a lot. Like, that's mental. From a mental side of things, that's a lot of pressure.
I suppose so. You're probably right, Mossy, but I don't know. It's something I've thought about.
You may be opening up to more mistakes than what we're getting.
Yeah, maybe.
The moment.
I hadn't thought about it that way. You might be right. But, yeah, I don't know. This rotation policy, it seems like it's par for the course these days, whether you're a player, whether you're an official in a high-intensity environment like the NRL, it just seems to happen. So we've just got to accept it.
Gee, when's Dez's press conference later this week? I guess it'll be Friday before the Gold Coast Titans.
Well, it probably will be, I'd imagine, Mido, but coaches, they're getting clever and cleverer these days, Mido, because traditionally you used to do your press conference, you know, a day before a game and journos would rock up and ask you about team selections and injuries and whatever else. I've noticed a few coaches in the NRL, no names, doing their press conferences on a Monday or Tuesday each week.
To tick the box.
To tick the box and avoid the scrutiny and the questions later in the week. So,
I've just had a text message in, just to our point before. Strebre Dolofsky, who's an avid listener of the show, has just texted me in. Now, he used to be head of referees for Football Australia and a fantastic referee in his own right, and retired now, and in charge of Wollongong Wolves, I think, still, Strebre. Call out to you, mate. But he said refs are also accountable, so they get dropped.
Okay. Not that you'd hear it in the NRL, though.
No, but it's nice to hear it from you know, someone who's highly respected in Australian football refereeing circles.
Yeah.
Great Days Racing on Saturday coming up. We'll get those fields today for the all-aged and the champagne. The two Group 1s, Royal Randwick, good for the track as it stands. The rail's out 7 metres from the 1,000 to the winning post and 5 metres the remainder. But, gee, it's been a good carnival so far. The Randwick, I guess, part of the carnival, hasn't it, Adam? Considering all that rain before day one, the championships have been superb. Some great stories to come out of it. And always love this day because the all-aged, as I think I said, I can't remember who it was yesterday, it's a good horses race.
It's one of the most underrated races, Mido, we have each year, I reckon. Like, you get 1,400 metres is a really sweet spot for a lot of horses. Wait for age. It's generally treated by a lot of horses as a grand final because it's towards the back end of the carnival. I think it's a fantastic race every single year. You go through the honour roll. I don't have it right in front of me at the moment, Mido, but there's some seriously, seriously good horses who have won that all age over the years, going back to, well, Giga Kick obviously won it. Was it last year? Atlantic Jewel won it previously, I think. More Joyce has been really competitive in that race, albeit we don't want to mention her last start, obviously. It's genuinely a good horses race.
All Too Hard, Haylist, Hot Danish. You know, Racing to Win, if you want to go Private Steer, back to then Sunline. Like, seriously.
Fantastic honour roll, isn't it?
Some serious, serious animals have won. Okay, we're going to talk Super Netball now. And joining us from the Giants, plays for the Diamonds as well, the national side, whether she's GS or GA, Sophie Dwyer is joining us. Sophie, a very good morning to you. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you on the show. So an 84-65 loss to the West Coast Fever to start the season for Giants Netball. I guess a bit of a reality check. What did you all take out of it?
Yeah, I think it definitely was a bit of a shock to us. We hadn't been performing like that all pre-season. And, you know, we did play them a few weeks prior and had a win. So, yeah, I guess it was a bit of a wake-up call for us that, you know, we really need to put out our best game every game. So, yeah, we've had a really great chat about the game. We reviewed it. We've had a few trainings already this week, but yeah, we've definitely lifted the intensity for this week.
Sophie, welcome. Fair to say that the number of turnovers was something that your side struggled with against the Fever?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, we had those turnovers and then we didn't win any ball back either. And I think, you know, when they have the likes of Janiel Fowler in the goal circle, who's probably the best shooter in the world, it's really hard to win ball off them. So if we have a high turnover count and not winning any ball back, I think that's just how the score pretty much blew out to what it did.
Sophie, big matchup against the Firebirds coming up this week. How do those sort of two teams sort of match up in previous history?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've always had pretty close games with them. Last year, they probably were on top of us a bit more, but then historically, it probably was more us on top of them. So I think it will be a really tight matchup. They probably play pretty similar to the Fever in that they have, you know, a pretty quick midcourt and a tall shooter at the back. So I think, you know, it was really good prep for us probably reviewing the Fever game, knowing that we can put out a much better performance to get a pretty similar team this week.
And personally, I believe it's your 50th Super Netball match this weekend. Congratulations. And I'm sure that, you know, I guess family and friends will be in attendance. And how do you feel, you know, your career is progressing at this point as you reach 50 games?
Yeah, I did find out it was my 50th couple of days ago. And I think it kind of came around pretty quickly. You know, this is my fourth year in the competition, so I probably should have known that it was coming around sooner. But, yeah, no, it was a little bit of a surprise. But I think, you know, I've had a pretty quick career progression, I guess, being thrown in at the age of 18 into, I guess, a starting position due to injury. And I think it's, yeah, been really cool just to reflect on my career to date and, yeah, know that I have so much more to give. So it's really exciting.
And as a player at the top level, how's the league going from a health point of view and the sport generally for all those young aspiring professional netballers out there?
Yeah, I think it's really exciting at the moment. You know, we have so much international talent coming in as well. So the league really is the best in the world. And I think if we can be inspirations to all the young girls to keep progressing, not only in netball, but in women's sport, I think is really something that's really special for us. And, you know, we want to be those role models of being, you know, really strong, tough competitors out there and show, you know, young girls what they can hopefully aspire to be.
Sophie, there were some pretty turbulent times for the competition last year when Collingwood decided to withdraw their netball franchise from the Super Netball competition. They've been replaced by the Melbourne Mavericks this year. What's sort of the impact of having a new franchise on the overall league been so far?
Yeah, I think, you know, it was really tough last year, not only with Collingwood pulling out, but obviously all the pay disputes that was happening. And I think, you know, we really banded together as a playing group. And I think you've never seen probably a whole league be so united on fighting for something. And I think, you know, it did start with Collingwood. And whilst we were super disappointed that their franchise fell apart, you know, the Mavericks came on really quickly. And I think it's really exciting to see the talent and I guess on their roster. And I know that they're just super keen to really embrace being a new club. And, you know, it was really exciting to see how they're going so far. But yeah, obviously wasn't ideal times for us, but I think we've really moved on for us from it. And I think it was definitely a time in history that we can look back on and know that, you know, we fought for what we thought was right. And it's really exciting to help progress netball in the right direction.
And just on the league generally, Sophie, I see on the back page of the Sydney Morning Herald today, there's a story about potentially bringing New Zealand teams back in and that it being a trans-Tasman comp like it was for a lot of years. So how would you, and do you think everyone would feel about that, about playing New Zealand teams again if that was to happen?
Yeah, I think I wouldn't be opposed to it. I'd be up for it. I think, you know, I was a fan of netball back in the day when, you know, New Zealand was part of the ANZ Championship, which is what it used to be called. And, you know, I loved watching the New Zealand teams play Australia. But yeah, I mean, it's well above my pay grade whether it's going to happen or not. But yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to it. I think it's exciting to try and bring more international talent into the league. It's only going to make it even better to watch and play in.
So if you take us into the inner sanctum at GWS, I'm friends with Melissa Juergens, who's the dietitian out there. I think she works across the AFL
and netball.
And netball. So is the club, I mean, of course, there's different codes, but do you cross-pollinate? Do you spend much time with the other athletes, the coaching staff, cross ideas as well?
Yeah, so at Giants HQ in Sydney Olympic Park, our gym facilities are all shared. So the AFL men's, AFLW and netball, we do cross paths a bit. Obviously, our training schedules are independent of each other, but, you know, we will be in and around the building together. We'll always have a chat, see how each other are going. You know, we're always going to be their biggest supporters and know that those club, those teams will be our biggest supporters as well. So, yeah, we definitely do go out to as many games as we can. We see them in the crowd too. So, and it's really special, I guess, in building that family culture. But, yeah, no, we definitely do see each other around a bit.
And does Mel allow you to have a sneaky cocktail on the weekends after games?
Not in the season. Keep that for after you win a premiership. That's the goal, isn't it? Then you can go crazy.
Sophie, what's unique about playing with Joe Hart and their both shooters, of course? What separates her from other shooters, I guess?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's really special, the partnership that we have. There's quite an age difference in us. And, like, I grew up watching Joe, so it is pretty surreal that I always have to kind of think about how special it is I do get to play with her. She's definitely one of the smartest players, if not the smartest player in the league. She just brings so much confidence and belief, I think, to the team, you know, whether she's on the court or if she's off and just being the leader that she naturally is. I think, you know, everyone lifts when you're playing with her and you want to play well for her. And I think that's something that not many players can really bring out of each and every person on a team. So, yeah, it's definitely really special to play with her. As I said earlier, kind of got thrown into a starting spot when I was 18 and a rookie, and no one probably thought I was even going to play many minutes that year, and ended up playing full minutes every game. So she definitely, I guess, helped my career progression and I guess that comfortability in a starting lineup at such a young age. And then, yeah, I think the partnership we have is super special now, and it definitely is growing each and every year, and I'll play with her as long as she wants to keep staying around. So yeah, it's really cool.
Sophie, this might be a bit of a left field question, but we've seen netball's popularity obviously soaring in the last sort of 10 to 15 years. It's recognised as a Commonwealth Games sport, but it's still not recognised by the IOC or the Olympic movement. Do you think it's time that maybe we push netball into that Olympic arena now and have it as a potential sport for athletes to compete in?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, when it comes to Australia, the Olympic Games next, you know, in Brisbane, that they do want it to be a sport in the Olympics. And I think, you know, we are such a growing sport, and I think hopefully we will be recognised soon. You know, it definitely is obviously more of a Commonwealth Games sport, so I do understand why it hasn't been previously, but I think it's growing around the world, and that probably is our next step, whether it's going to be, you know, normal, I guess, seven-a-side netball, or there's even talk of it being fast five, or is it going to be, you know, mixed with men as well. And I think whatever it progression or form, I guess, it takes, I think it'll be really exciting to at some capacity for it to be in the Olympic Games, definitely, yes.
And Sophie, tell us about life off the court. Are you studying, working, or just a lot of netballing, I'm sure, at the moment, considering the season's just started?
Yeah, a lot of netball at the moment, but I am doing uni on the side. I'm only doing one subject at the moment, so it's going to be very, very slow progression, but that's okay. It'll get done eventually. But yeah, I'm studying exercise therapy at UTS, so yeah, pretty exciting, and hopefully maybe master in physio will be the end goal.
Ah, great stuff. Well, hope it goes well this week against the Firebirds, and you get your first win of the season, and have a great season, and enjoy your 50th as well in particular.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your time, Sophie. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Brad Davidson, very good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, Jared. Morning, everyone. I'm well, thanks. How are you guys?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Looking forward to the second edition of the Quokka over in the West. Damien Cook's already tipped us up, King of Sparta this morning, which has drawn well. And we had the draw yesterday. And what did you make of it? Any winners and losers?
Yeah, I think King of Sparta was a big winner out of the draw, guys. Barrier number four is probably just perfect for him. He can just settle sort of one off and hopefully get into that running line and then peel to the outside in the straight. We know he's going to appreciate the likely good tempo of the race, and yeah, I think it sets up well for him. Amelia's dual barrier 12 is probably the big loser out of the draw. You know, we can see that she's been able to settle in front of a few in the past, but I don't think that gives them too many options but to get right back in that race there on Saturday. We know she's got that lightning turn of speed. I thought her running the Roma Cup first up was simply outstanding. She just got too far back, and that's going to be the little query again there on Saturday. But, yeah, I think King of Sparta was the big winner. Amelia's Jewel the loser. And, of course, it's like Overpass. Look, he drew okay. You know, if he can sort of cross Malkovich is probably his best chance sort of thing. But at the same time, you know, they'll be happy enough with his draw in the race there on Saturday.
Dave, the Champagne Stakes at Randwick this weekend. As is usual, we've lost a lot of two-year-olds, sort of a bit of attrition throughout the carnival. Looks like it'll only be a pretty small field on the weekend. Are you with Manal at this early stage?
Yeah, probably, Adam. You know, she was strong, wasn't she, there over the 1400 last time out. No reason now to suggest she won't handle the 1600 metres. And as you said, the smaller field probably means that, you know, barrier draw is not as important because she can be within striking distance of them, you know, being that small field. So, look, she was terrific. I thought she was terrific in the Golden Slipper prior to that as well. And, yeah, all systems go up to the mile there on Saturday. You think she's going to be hard to beat again. So, you know, arguably, I guess, you know, puts herself there as two-year-old of the season if she's able to do it. Obviously, Lady of Camelot taking out the Slipper and running so well in the Percy Sykes will have something to say about that. But, yeah, she's got to be in the conversation, doesn't she, if she's able to win a second Group 1 there on Saturday.
And Dave O'Royal, Ascot beckons for Chain of Lightning.
That's right, Mossy. Yeah, look, they're going to go over there and have a crack at the Diamond Jubilee after winning the TJ Smith Stakes this autumn. So I believe she's going through the Broodmare sale as well with the proviso that she's to race over there in Royal Ascot. So they're taking up the invitation over there. And, yeah, excited to see how that horse can go. Obviously a surprise winner in the TJ Smith, but, you know, there's no denying his talent. And we've seen the Australian sprinters go over there time and time again and shape up and be impressive. So looking forward to having some Australian flavour to the Royal Ascot Carnival once again.
Something somewhere today, Davo.
Boom in the Dark from me, guys, up there at Doomba. I thought he was a much better horse when the blinkers went on second up. He was wide first up. Blinkers went on last time. He was good behind a couple of horses in a higher rating maiden. I just think they can push the button early here, get in the first couple, hopefully lead the race. I thought it around the $4.40, $4.60 mark. I thought he was the bet for me today. Boom in the Dark up there at Doomben.
Race 5, number 4, Doomben. Boom in the Dark. $4.40 currently with Tab. Damien Thornton, Tony Gollan combining there. Mate, you have a good day. Thank you.
You too, guys. Cheers.
Brad Davidson there. Love this text. Hey, pingers. Not pangers, pingers. Any egg flips for Canterbury today? Looking to build a bank for the weekend. Dora, the free pourer from Eleonora, has texted in. Pangers.
Race 6, number 12, Balkans was my play today. Dora, he's pretty disappointing last start. He's gone back to the trials, though. If he runs up to his form from his first two runs, his preparation, I think he'll be right in the finish. So that is race 6, number 12, Balkans at Canterbury today.
Yeah, 6-12 Canterbury, Balkans, second line of betting, Nashra Willer, James Cummings, $5.50 with Tab. Another one here is J-Mac going to ride King of Sparta. No, he's not. It's Blake Shin, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, it is Blake, yep.
Blake Shin over in the west. Overpass, of course, Bjorn Baker. Josh Parr combining there, going into the race. First up, looking to go back-to-back in the second edition of the Quokka. And just getting a price for Overpass, $4.60. Amelia's Jewel, which we remember last year. Flash Tome is the $3 favourite.
It's a good race, Mido, and they've done really well with this concept. I know it's only in its infancy, I suppose, a couple of years in, but they're drawing together a pretty decent field, it must be said. So the money on offer obviously is enticing for a lot of connections and the slot holders involved, but the quality of horse flesh is, to me, is definitely improved this year. So they're doing a good job.